And here we go again.
Again.
Snakes, rats, and goats. Talking about
there's
Survivor.
So much excitement in your mind, in your mouth, in your
so
words.
I'm so excited. Yeah, I always start off such high energy, and then it's a 4% downhill grade all the way till the end.
Oh.
But you know, here we are.
But we're
Scott.
All thrilled. Here we are. We reached the point in the season. Oh, sorry. Talking about. Go
Survivor,
ahead.
Survivor season 34, episode 10.
We've reached the point where most of the great characters are gone from the show, and we're running out the clock.
And the good ones that are left are getting like coronations for their last time ever to be on the show. It seems like.
Yeah,
we'll see. Let's get into that eventually. But Scott, I'm sad.
Oh, because Debbie's gone,
yeah,
or because we don't have a guest this week.
Well, you know that too. Definitely sad we don't have a guest, although it does make things easier.
When Debbie was eliminated, no celebrities or pseudo celebrities were were able to gather themselves and comment.
They were all in therapy. Yeah,
all throughout Hollywood, everybody's here. It's been in mourning.
It's almost sad that we don't have a guest for this episode, because imagine how much hate there would be for Debbie this episode. I have a question for you, Scott. What's the over under on number of super cocky confessionals you can have before it's obvious you're the one getting voted out?
Well, how many did Sierra have and how many did Debbie have?
I think Sierra
we may
had
be
two.
Able to find the answer somewhere in between there.
Yeah. So Sierra only
actually
had...
do you know that?
I don't know for sure. I know Sierra had three confessionals this episode and Debbie had five. And I'm almost positive that all of Debbie's were cocky.
Yeah.
I know of at least two of Sierra's that were for sure cocky. So let's put the over under at four then, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess
I think
so.
That's the
or
answer.
Maybe even three.
Yeah. Maybe
I mean, often it's just one, but this is a
true.
Very special.
Yeah.
Very special year.
Yeah.
At first, I mean, Sierra's were so cocky that I thought she was getting set up for a tremendous fall. And I still hope that that's the case.
Yeah. She has been so
no
cocky.
No offense to SDT.
Right. Right. Oh, I mean, yeah. Talking about, I was just about to call her the queen of cock, but I really just meant the queen of cockiness.
What do you know about Sierra? What do you know?
Oh, geez. This is already off to a great start.
Off to a... Well, we usually have guests to keep us focused.
That's true. That's true. But, you know, maybe gems like that wouldn't come out if we did have a guest today. Anyway, Scott, should we just jump right into the episode? Let's
jump
do it.
Right into this episode after trashing it for 5 minutes.
So I have, like... So in my notes, I think I have on, like, at least four different occasions... just the words Debbie is arrogant. And that's the very first note of the episode. It starts off with a confessional from Debbie where she's just like, she uses the line. There's not a line in the sand. There's a line in the concrete.
Which was the name of the episode.
Oh, was it? Yeah. So
what
I loved is that almost immediately afterwards, they have Sarah going, you know, there might be a line in the sand, but it gets washed away. I just love that they used, like, they had confessionals from both to really just tie it all together really nicely. That was great. Good luck.
Well, I'm sure that Debbie had been using that terminology
fair enough.
Quite a bit around camp, you know?
Yeah. I wonder, like, so do you think, like, people come up sort of, you know how when you're hanging out with people and they start using a phrase maybe you've never heard before, and if you hang out with them enough and you're friends with them, you start to use it as well?
Yeah, it becomes a part of your...
So I wonder if that happens a lot, you know, on the show. If, like, you're hanging out with, you know, Mike from Worlds Apart, and all of a sudden by the end of the season you say 150,000% all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And you're eating scorpions.
Yeah.
Well, I was afraid you were going to go with Mike Scoopin. I didn't know where that was going. There was a long pause after that Mike.
could have been anyone.
Anybody.
Yeah.
My mind went right to Scoopin. So.
Yeah. Well, you know, fair enough.
As I it mean, does so yeah. often throughout the day.
I mean, I just constantly find myself thinking about him.
What would Scoopin' do? That's my hashtag. Oh, WWSD, and then do the opposite.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Just the guiding principle. Well, so she opened up with her cockiness, you're saying, Debbie.
Yeah, and it was just...
When did you know, and we know that you love Debbie as a character, when did you know the writing was on the wall for Debbie?
Probably during the reward. I think there was a bunch of confessionals from Sierra and Debbie in that reward. I still was kind of holding out hope it was Sierra, but when they started... I knew for sure when we got the Aubrey, when Debbie talks to Aubrey and then Aubrey talks to Sarah and Aubrey's like, Debbie is like saying to Aubrey, hey, I'm with you, you know, just wait and I'll get you in.
And thank goodness. I'm so glad that Aubrey talked to Sarah, because I know Sarah's getting a lot of credit for this episode. I don't see her as any different than she's ever been. And she blows with whichever way the wind blows. And I was getting mad.
Yeah, to me, it was insane that Sarah's like, last time I did this mistake. But this time it's going to be different. And then she literally does the exact same thing, only this time it works out for her because no chaos casts.
Right. It like, worked out for her for now.
Yeah. So many people giving Sarah so much props for her move, her flip, basically.
I don't see it. I don't see it.
I hate the move.
Thank you. Wow, we're in agreement.
Yeah, I think...
Not only that, I don't think she does... I think all the credit belongs to Ceree with a strong assist from Aubrey.
I'm actually willing to give Aubrey most of the credit myself. I think that move... So I saw, you know, Ceree talking to Sarah, and then...
Well, Ceree put the bug in her ear.
Ceree definitely put the bug in her ear.
I mean, I know Sarah is wanting to make a big move and she's open to stuff, but Ceree made the right subtle argument and got her thinking. And then what Aubrey did was kind of saved it when it was about to go awry.
So I think that Sierra had actually won Sarah back by then.
Probably.
And Aubrey was really like the one who put the nail in the coffin, though. And Aubrey, man, I'm again so impressed with her. How did she make it this far? You know, she has to be like the freshest in the minds of everyone out there as the best player to not have won, quote unquote, like most recently.
But she got lucky in some ways. I mean, in some ways she didn't, because she's appeared to be on the outside for most of her time there. But she did get lucky in that there were so many other bigger threats than her.
Yeah. Yeah. Which she only appears to be not a threat. I mean, I think Aubrey is playing a really amazing game, you know, as always, really. I mean, it's the same.
Yeah.
Kind
I mean,
of
we haven't seen much of
time.
It.
Yeah.
We haven't seen enough of it. And that's why I worry for her, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think Aubrey's winning, unfortunately. And I think that, God, I hate to say it, but I think it's like, at this point, I'm like 90% sure Sarah wins the game.
I was thinking that, but I'm not so sure. I'm hoping. I was positive that Kelly Wentworth was going to win Cambodia. Yeah. And I am hope maybe it's wishful thinking, but I'm thinking that maybe Sarah is getting a similar kind of edit. The person who comes back underestimated, you know, wasn't a big performer her first time, and then does everything right and makes it to the end and falls just short.
Oh, I hope you're right.
The final tribal council.
I hope you're right.
I am. I hope at this point, that's like all I have to hang my hat on is just hoping that some of these players that I haven't been rooting for, and I'm sure they're lovely people in daily life, and they may in fact be lovely people on the show, but I seem to be hung up on this idea that they shouldn't have been on in the first place.
Yeah.
And I can't get past it, and it's probably a flaw in me, but I can't get past it. I haven't gotten past it, Ryan.
Yeah.
Have you?
I'm with you. You know, I guess I'm only past it out of apathy at this point, right? Because so many of the cool players are gone, and now I'm like, okay, well, we'll just see what happens, right?
The only players on this show now who I could reasonably call a game changer, are Ciri. I'm looking at a picture of the cast right now, and I'm not finding anybody else. I'm going to stretch my definition of a game changer a bit to include Ty.
Sure.
And I don't see how Aubrey's really a game changer, but she's definitely a worthy returnee.
Right. Yeah, I mean, there's a bunch of people who are
worthy. And Zeke's a very worthy returnee. Yeah. I would settle for worthy returnee.
I know. I'm just, you know? Let's call it Survivor worthy returnees.
I would love. Oh, can we just have a season called that? That's the only way to guarantee.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
I mean, at this point, the people who are most likely to win are the ones who are least worthy, but just by virtue of what we saw of their performance in their original season. There may have been tons of great footage we didn't get to see. But Sierra and Sarah are in the driver's seat right now, and I don't like it.
Yeah, well,
Brad and Troy and, like, you know.
Yeah.
They're doing well this season, but come on.
Can I just go back to something we started talking about, but I definitely want to get into it more. And that is, why is it? Let's talk about this, because we both think it was a bad move for Sarah to flip.
Yeah. But
let's say why. Let's talk about why.
Bad move for her or bad move in general?
Either.
I'm not certain it was a bad move of hers to flip. I mean, she was at the bottom of that other alliance. I think I don't know if we have enough information. Is Sierra serious about going to the end with Sarah?
Yeah, I watched that scene again, and I was like, man, I cannot tell if she's lying. Like, she might have been serious. In any case, I think it's a bad move for Sarah. I think it's a bad move in general, and I think it's a bad move for Sarah, and that I have one very specific reason for that, and
What's that?
She has a vote steal. Mm-hmm. Like, if she's number six in this six-person alliance and she has a vote steal, that's super powerful, right?
It is very powerful. So, it's more powerful than just an extra vote.
It's almost as powerful as an idol. Almost. I mean, they can just overwhelm her 5-1, but she has to be able to have made enough. She has to have been able to have made relationships in that final six, that group of six, that where she can go to two people. All she needs is two people and say, hey, vote with me. I have a vote steal. We're done. We're going to final three now. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, it's that easy. Like, if she's in a stone cold lock to final six and she thinks there's not two people out of those six I can convince to go with me, then why even play at that point? You know what I mean? Like, I can't think of a better situation than that. Now,
that's a good point.
What she doesn't know is that out of those final six, there are three idols and two are owned by one person. Like, so she has to pick the right people, but just on paper, knowing what she knows, it's a terrible move, man. She's like a guaranteed lock for final three if she doesn't flip here. Now,
you're right. You're right.
I still think it's not going to matter, but let's not be results oriented. Like, on
now
paper,
that right now ahead. That said, even whether or not she should have flipped, the decision to take out Debbie is stupid.
Yeah. No, totally.
And I blame her for that more because I we don't have all the information right now, but I assume that Ciri and Aubrey and those people were basically saying, you know, who do you want to vote out?
Any of those other five people will vote for, but And Sarah, like, this is the same problem she had in her first season, is she wants to be the belle of the ball, you know? She wants to be the one who gets to make the decision of who goes home, and it costs her. And this thing where she's like, I'm going to decide at tribal. First of all, no, you're not. You've already decided.
Right.
And second of all, like, it's just like, why do you get to be the one who decides? It's like, totally go into her head. It's the same problem Zeke had. He wasn't in control. Yeah. So he wanted to, like, blow his whole game up. I'm getting
Ceri, on the other hand, and who you know I love, will yes. observe a situation like that to comprehend that she is not driving the ship and play a longer game.
Yeah.
She bides her time and says, totally. When's the right time? And how do I maneuver myself to be in the right position when that time comes?
Yeah.
Granted, it hasn't 100% worked in her past three yeah. outings, but.
I mean, look, it's worked really well at getting her, you know, in one season she got 50K, and in another season I think she got 40K just for her placement. Like, she's really good at getting very close to the end.
Yeah, I don't know what money they get when it's beyond second place, but I know she got fourth place and then third place.
Right, yep.
In a season, and third place in a season with a final two, so...
Right.
That she would probably won if there had been a final three in Micronesia. And she may have won in a final two in Panama, depending who she was up against.
Right, right.
So, you know, she of all the people left, she's clearly the most accomplished.
Yeah.
That's why it's interesting. I think, was it Rob or Steven, one of the guys on the Know-It-Alls, who made the very good point that at the outset of the episode, it was 6-5, but the five contained a lot of talent and a lot of survivor gameplay,
that's a very
strategy,
good
prowess that the other six, frankly, doesn't. There's not a single person in that other six who has shown themselves to be super impressive.
You're totally right.
Strategic.
We've got, like, in the five, we've got Andrea, Ceri, you know, and to some extent Zeke.
Yeah.
Aubrey. I mean,
and Aubrey.
Yeah, you've
Michaela's
got
the only one who isn't really that with it strategically. But she is able to play along when Ceri or somebody is very clear with her, you know, and has good, strong communication, and she understands what's going on. Michaela is smart enough to play along and play her part and not blow up at tribal council.
Well, yeah.
Well, seriously, there's the JT tribal council.
Yeah.
And then that there was one recently where it seemed like she was getting votes.
You know, Michaela,
remember, and she knew she would get votes and she was willing to play it. So that is a talent that not every player has.
You know, it really seems like Michaela makes it to the end. Is a goat,
I think so.
Because it's very clear that most people don't like her, but we're not getting a lot. We're not getting as much of that as we would if, you know, she was going out soon. I feel like they could make her into a villain probably, and they just have not. And that's like with Ken, right? Or someone who makes it to final three has no chance of winning. They like obscure them from us, so we don't know how they're truly perceived, so that we think maybe they have a chance when the final episode rolls around.
Well, but there's also been a ton of people who have expressed that they don't like her on the show.
You're right.
And that they want to vote her out. So I think if she makes it to the end, most people are going to think she doesn't have a chance to win.
Yeah. No, that's
but I'm
true.
Still hopeful that she makes it. My only, you know, the scenario I'm clinging to is like Ceri, Aubrey, and Michaela in the final three.
I would love it. Let's talk about really good final threes. Let's switch Michaela with Andrea, and then we can really have a good final three.
It would be, yeah. But part of my hope, my thinking is wanting Ceri to win. So
no, I know.
I'm putting Michaela in there to make it easier for Ceri to win.
I think Ceri has a shot. I think it's a very small shot. I will say that Ceri still leads in total confessionals.
That's despite, not always a good thing.
Despite Sarah literally doubling her confessionals this episode. She went from 11 to 22. She had 11 confessionals in this episode.
She had 11 confessionals?
Yeah, isn't that insane?
Where are you getting this information?
Survivor
Who's
sucks.
Compiling it?
Survivor sucks.
Survivor sucks?
Yeah, no one has even come close to 11 this season.
Because there are different, I think, boards with different people, and they have different ways they...
Right. Survivor sucks is usually pretty good. Pretty good. But yeah, I couldn't believe it when I saw that 11. The next closest one is like 8, and that was That was JT's boot episode. He had 8, and Tony had 8 in his boot episode. Yeah, you know, well, Sarah was getting so much attention, you almost would have thought she was going home this episode.
Yeah, but she wasn't. I mean, everybody's praising her. I mean, she did do a great job with that, finding that advantage.
Yeah, look, I give
you
her
know,
all the
she
credit.
She handled
in the
that
world.
Really
yeah.
well, and she does seem to have good relationships with most of the people. I'm curious to see how that, you know, how this vote affects some of those relationships.
Yeah.
And I think that she probably justified voting off Debbie, you know, because she felt like she wanted to keep the relationship with Sierra and Brad.
Right. No, I think that that's absolutely correct, especially with Sierra, right? Like, I think
right.
I think she really genuinely likes Sierra and definitely wants to work with her. And I think she thinks that Sierra wants to work with her. So, which may be true. I honestly couldn't get a good read on Sierra in that scene. It seemed like she might be telling the truth. But
yeah, she might be.
I've been in that situation in my stupid little homebrews where you're telling a bunch of different people that you want to go to the final three with them. And in the moment that I'm telling them that, I do, but then I change my mind later. So,
right.
You know, it's like, it's you easy.
Think
to,
about it.
Yeah. It's easy to tell the truth in the moment because you really feel it in the moment. Right.
Right.
And that, I
or
think
the
that's
situation
like,
changes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that is like one of the things that a good final tribal council performance in takes into account, right? That at the time you promised someone something, you did mean it. But then the situation changed and you need to articulate how and why it changed that made you change your mind. So that people
right.
aren't just upset at you for lying to them when at the time you weren't actually lying to them.
Yeah, that's a tricky line to walk.
Totally, totally.
But some people can finesse it and some people can't.
I know. I've never made the final three or two in any homebrew game, so I have no idea if I have the skills to do it, but it's
I mean, if
important.
Suri makes the final three, she probably has the skills, right? And she probably wins.
Yeah.
It's just that the path there is very narrow.
Well, to be honest,
very
does...
unlikely.
Does Suri have the skills in a final tribal? We honestly don't know, right?
Well, we don't know, but we know that she has the skills to communicate with people one-on-one.
Yeah, yeah. I wonder.
You know, I mean, she seems at least, we don't know, we haven't seen her in that high-pressure situation, but we've seen her know the right things to say to people to put them at ease.
Totally. I totally agree with that. And so much.
She
of the
can
game,
handle Michaela. She can yeah. handle, you know, all these people.
Yeah.
She's by the time Ozzy left, Ozzy, if you've read any of his post-show interviews, is, you know, he left rooting for her and saying that's one of the greatest to ever play the game.
That's amazing. Good for Ozzy.
And when the season started, he was, you
yep.
know.
Yep.
He wasn't like, I hate her, but he did not trust her in the least.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's talk about the reward challenge a little bit. So there's a couple things to touch on here. First of all, Michaela goes unpicked, which
what's up with that? It's weird.
If Michaela is like sandbagging the season challenge wise in order to seem like less of a threat, that's awesome. But she might just be tired because she came back and then like 2 weeks later went back out there. You know what I mean?
But you think she's not performing well in challenges and that's why she wasn't picked?
I think that's part of it. Obviously, she hasn't appeared to be a challenge threat
mm-hmm.
this whole season.
I guess not. I mean, that's just the way I think of her. But still, with all the people... So who... I mean, well, Suri was a captain, so she had to be on the team.
So the people...
Because frankly,
yeah.
she should be the last person picked.
I think Zeke
should be the last person picked, so I'm not dissing Suri. You know, it's just the luck of the draw there. But is there anybody else that you would pick after
Zeke,
Michaela?
Zeke for sure. But
for sure? I mean, Zeke's done really well in challenges too.
Yeah.
Hasn't he?
I think he's been up and down. But maybe not. Maybe no one who's like a slam dunk worse than Michaela.
I think Suri's the only slam dunk last pick for that.
Yeah. I mean, as we saw from, you know, if we want to be results oriented, Zeke would have been the person for Ceree to not pick, right? But Ceree probably felt like,
What do you mean Zeke would have been the person to not pick?
Well, because he couldn't do the balance beam. He was in some ways worse than Ceree at it, according to the edit. But, you know.
Well, he got across it, didn't he?
Well, he got across it, but it took him a long time. He failed multiple times. You know,
I didn't realize that. I sometimes I space out in the challenges.
I do too.
Consider the challenges while I'm watching them. I don't take my eyes off the screen much, but I consider that like a free time to converse.
Yeah,
Whoever I'm with.
I'm the same. Like, I'm the same. I know there's people that like just live to watch those challenges, but man. Yeah. For me, it's just like, is some drama going to happen? Okay, then
I hope really Miles isn't listening.
I know.
If something looks like it's interesting or some was said that was important, I will then usually rewind it back. I forgot to mention, by the way, that a couple weeks ago, I thought I was so excited because I was like, I really focused on paying attention during the instructions of the challenge. And I thought I had made it. And I was really proud of myself. Like I was repeating the instructions aloud and everything. And I thought I had really understood it. And then it started and I had no idea what was going on. I realized that it was like a 3-stage challenge. I think it was done the week we had Rob C on.
Yeah.
Whatever challenge that was. It was in 3 stages, and I had spent the time that Jeff Probst spent explaining the first stage. I had spent telling myself that, okay, tonight's the night, start paying attention really closely. Yeah. And I guess it was already happening when I was telling myself that.
I love
so
it.
So I came
it.
Close. And that's the close. And it's been 2 weeks. There's been 2 episodes since then, technically 3. And I haven't even approached that level
of
success.
Forget it. Don't even worry about it. Don't even worry about it. Yeah. So
and then when it's being played, I missed that Zeke was struggling. I was just talking about strategy or perhaps, life. With my wife.
Yeah, I do the same thing, absolutely. So there's a couple other things. So there's this hidden advantage. Did you like that idea?
Wait, that's okay. Yeah, I did. I mean, that's fine. Wait, but can I ask about Michaela being not picked?
Sure.
Do we think she was pissed? Because should Ceree have chosen her? What was that?
Make no damn sense.
You think she was pissed, Scott?
Well, I mean, was she pissed at Ceree?
Oh, no. I actually think it's smart of Ceree to go, okay, Michaela is the one person I probably don't need to worry about picking.
Oh, I agree it's smart of Ceree, but...
Was she pissed
at Ceree? Do you need to worry about picking her? Because you shouldn't need to worry about picking her if you're Ceree.
Yeah.
But do you... Should you still because or if Ceree has, spoken to her in advance about this kind of thing?
You know what? So
is Michaela going to be like, why didn't Ceree pick me even as her last pick?
So Michaela kept saying like, I feel like Michaela blamed everyone and not just Ceree and or Brad. So I wonder.
So
if
maybe it was a.
It might have been one of those ones where you pick someone and then they pick the next person.
Right. If that was the case, then I totally get it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if I'm Ceree and I have to pick every member, I would think that I should probably pick Michaela, but pick her last.
Although Brad does say later that he purposefully didn't pick some people, Troy and Sarah, so that they would stay back at camp. So maybe maybe the captains did pick the whole team. Interesting. Yeah,
I don't know.
Ceree's playing with fire there, but she knows Michaela better than we do.
And she can talk her down if she's mad at her.
Telling the truth, like I always do.
always.
Yeah. So you like the hidden advantage just for the person who isn't selected to try to find?
And especially since I'd be that person. You know?
Right, yeah.
I think that it is, it's always kind of like, whenever they do that and one person doesn't get picked,
mm-hmm.
and I even remember the first time they did it, which was in Thailand. I remember thinking like, oh, that is so harsh.
Yeah.
So it's nice. Like that is, they don't, in that case, the person can get picked for purely, I think, maybe physical, but partly alliance reasons. But for whatever reason, like it's nice that, I like that it adds another layer, not only for that person getting a surprise reward, but also it adds another layer to the strategy going forward, that now we know that the person who goes to exile might
mm-hmm.
actually have a great experience. The person who doesn't get picked in the schoolyard pick yeah. might get an advantage. So it's just another layer of strategy. So I like it.
Yeah, you know, they've been doing the thing where the person who doesn't get picked gets to wager on one of the teams. And then if that team wins, they go to the reward with them.
Yeah.
So
I've always thought that was kind of fair.
Yeah. I love that. And if I was Michaela, knowing what I know, I think I would have been suspicious that that wasn't on the table,
mm-hmm.
but I don't know, you know, who can say?
I don't know. I don't know if we should blame her for not seeing that.
No,
I mean,
No. No way. No way. Like it's easy to watch and go, oh, Michaela's so dumb, she didn't see it. Well, how often do you look under your chair? Never. Although
right. Now we know too.
She did swim out to it, presumably. Right.
Right.
I mean,
you would think she would notice it.
Yeah.
At least if she
swam out to it.
In Entertainment Weekly's, you know, Jeff Probst, a Q&A, it sounded like they were 100% certain that she would get it.
Yeah, and so that brings up my next question. Do you think this huge emotional moment with Ceri was orchestrated by Jeff in order to give Michaela more time to figure it out?
Oh. No. I think that it was orchestrated, but I don't think it was to give Michaela time to figure that out.
No.
I don't know. I think he sensed a larger opportunity, you know, for manufacturing some interest.
When Sarah went out to help her, that yeah. was sort of like Jeff going, oh, okay, this is TV right here. You know?
Yeah. I think he cares more about that stuff. He has said yeah. that in the same interview, he said it's like his favorite moment in the show's history, or one of his favorite moments.
That's tricky to edit, right? Because you got, on the one hand, you got these moments of Michaela, like maybe finding the thing. And then you have these emotional moments with Ceri. Like, how do you cut in between those? You know, it's good stuff. I thought they did a great job.
Yeah, the editors, as always, and Survivor, top notch.
Top notch.
They're able to tell the whole story. It's amazing. I mean, the whole thing with Ceri. I mean, come on. You know I love Ceri. Nobody's rooting for Ceri yeah. more than me, other than maybe herself and her family. I've always loved Ceri. My first reaction to that moment was when Jeff was like, you can still do it. I was like, screw you. Why are you forcing her to do this?
Yeah.
Like yeah. at that point, she had no choice but to say yes.
Yeah, I know.
That
yeah.
was him 100%. Like it's not like Ceri was staying behind going, Jeff, let me just finish this out.
Right. I totally agree.
I want to get across that balance beam. That would be a great moment to see. This was some guy saying like, well, you really want to get across it still, right? We've got the cameras on. Everybody's mm-hmm. watching. You're not just going to stop, are you?
I know.
She had no choice but to yep. do it. I thought it was kind of bordering on abusive. Like, I just.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I love her. I'm glad it ended up being a positive for her. And she's seemed very happy about it. So, you know, that's great. But to call it, like, didn't he say it was the most powerful moment or something and survive?
Afterwards, right? Like, he was talking about it afterward. Like, this week he's been talking about it in interviews or whatever. Is that what you're referring to?
I guess, yeah.
Yeah, I think,
I mean,
he did.
Come on. It doesn't even make the top 10.
I know. It felt very swan song
of the season.
Yeah.
I mean, we had the Zeke Tribal Council experience a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
What you think that it, I mean, that this is, she doesn't win, but she's a hero. Let's salute Ceri.
Like, this is like they're trying to force sort of a finish to Ceri's Survivor career because they're probably not going to bring her back or whatever. And
I don't know why not, by the way.
Well, so
I don't really think anybody should be playing five times, but I think she is one of the most popular among fans.
I wonder though if that popularity still holds.
What's going on the CBS .com thing? You know
what
I'm talking
about. I'm sure she isn't unpopular.
I want to see. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah. They're doing a bracket.
Yeah, I mean, is she still in it?
I don't know.
Was she even in it to begin with? I have.
Of course, she must be.
Not necessarily.
CBS Survivor bracket.
It was like a villains heroes thing.
Heroes, villains. Let's see what this gets me. The Ultimate Survivor Tournament: Heroes versus Villains.
You found it.
Here we go. Of course, I found it. Right, the final round is on May 3rd, so it's still happening.
Mm-hmm.
And Ceri's still in it. We're in round three. There's five rounds.
Fair enough. I mean, maybe
the heroes. Right now, she is. Ooh, this is rough. She is up against Malcolm right now.
Well, she's going to lose, unfortunately. But
I'm voting for her right now. I like Malcolm. I'm going to keep voting.
Every vote counts, right? Every vote counts.
The villains. Ooh, this is rough. Sandra versus Boston Rob.
That is not hard for me at all.
I'm voting for Sandra. Yeah. I just mean it's rough. You know, for her, for her chances. It's a tough competitor.
Yeah, okay,
all.
I agree with that. Boston Rob is inexplicably popular to me.
I love Boston Rob.
I never liked him. All right, so let's get back to this. So Sarah does find that.
So I'm telling you, she's popular, so she could conceivably, if they start letting people play five times and they have some sort of legend season, she could conceivably come back.
Yeah, you know what's kind of horrible. Geez, sorry. You know what's kind of horrible to me is that if there is an all winners season and Ceri doesn't win this season, she doesn't get to play in an all winners season. But it seems like she should be in an all winners season to me.
Yeah, it should just be Ceri versus winners.
It should be winners versus the best players to never win, right? So you got Ceri.
That would be a great
Rob C
that would
on
be an
one
awesome,
tribe. Yeah,
that would be an awesome season.
Aubrey on one tribe.
Yes. Now you're talking, because you could definitely find 10 good winners to come back, or even any winners.
Yeah. I think there's so many winners.
You stumbled upon something.
There's so many winners, though, that are just like, I'm not coming back unless it's an all-winner season, and the prize is like $5 million or whatever. You know.
Well, that's what they say now.
Yeah.
They all come running back. Not all of them, but many of them come back.
Natalie Anderson tried, but did you hear her interview with Rob?
Yes, I did, man. I'm so heartbroken.
I know.
She was like a day away from being on this season.
Yeah.
And she wanted to work with Sandra and Ceri and
I know. And
Tony and all the people I wanted to stay.
And her doctor was like the day before, her doctor was like, she can't go. She's just
and instead horrible. Sierra played, and so like the season would be so different. She would have been on the tribe with Ceri.
Yeah, I mean, she probably would have made the merge, right? Like pretty easily, I bet.
Probably.
If she's in Sierra's place, there's no way she doesn't make the merge.
The best part of the interview was, because they never went to tribal council.
I mean, butterfly effect, blah blah blah, right? Who knows, but.
It would be a very different season. It would be, there's no way it would not be a very different season. The best part of our interview with Rob, which I highly recommend, was when he asked her, well, if you were there, would you have eaten the goat?
Yeah.
And she was just like, I would have killed the goat
and
eaten it. She's like, the problem is none of them have ever killed any goats. I know how to kill a goat.
Yeah.
Like, so.
Yeah. So she was in this heroes villains poll thing too as a villain.
Uh-huh.
Which, yeah, in my mind, she wasn't exactly a villain, but
she's one of those people who's sort of in between.
Yeah,
you
she
know,
wasn't
like
really a hero either.
When they did heroes versus villains the season, you know, you had Suri and Sandra. I think either of them could have been on either tribe.
I don't think Sandra could have been on the hero tribe.
I mean, guess Sandra couldn't since
she was villainous, man. Remember when
I love
everyone thinks that Fairplay's grandma is dead and Sandra gets the first vote of who to like make walk the plank and she goes, Fairplay's buddy. You know?
Yeah, but she was right.
She
knew
was
that he
right,
was...
but it was still villainous in the moment.
That's not, to me, it's throwing out the fish.
Well, that is also villainous.
The tribe's fish was villain.
I mean, look, but, she's been a villain
but no,
from the beginning.
But Johnny Fairplay was a bigger villain.
True.
And she was calling bullshit on him. That's part of how she thrived the two seasons she won is there was a bigger villain.
Right.
And she was against the bigger villain.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. That's a huge part of it.
This season, she was the biggest villain.
Yeah, as it turns out. All right, so Sarah finds the advantage, and it's a vote steal. Are we happy the vote steal is back?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I don't know, Ryan. I mean, I like all the... I'm not super against it, but I don't know. Some of these vote double votes and vote steals, I think, are a little too much for one person to have.
So, yeah, so we've got... Sierra with what is it, a double vote? What does she get again? What's her legacy advantage?
I thought it was just immunity.
Oh my god,
it's immunity at the final six.
Sure, or is it
no? Sure, I could look it up. I've been looking things, I've been doing really well.
I'm looking it up.
The internet, okay, then you look it up.
I'm looking it up right now. Let's see. Okay, hold on.
Sure.
Well, it can only be used, a legacy advantage can only be used when they're 13 or 6. It doesn't say what it is, though.
I think it's immunity.
Oh, it is. Okay, yep, it's a hidden immunity idol, basically. Okay, so Sierra basically has a hidden immunity idol, sort of.
It can only be used at one time.
At 6, right. Ty has
so there's
two.
Basically four idols in the game because somebody will have that idol
right
at final six.
Man.
You can guarantee that somebody will be playing a hidden immunity idol at final six because it's the only time it can be played.
Yeah.
And whether it's her or the person she wills it to,
well, can you will
it's going to get played? It's the legacy advantage.
Sorry, what I mean is like, can she give it
away?
I know. I thought what you meant was can she play it on someone else?
No, she can play. I don't remember if she can play it on someone else, but she can play it at final six only. So you may as well play it. And if she's not there, she wills it to somebody else who feels the same way. Like this. I happen to have this, so may as well use it.
Yeah. So, like, right. So she's going to use it on herself unless she can use it on someone else. But, I mean, the other thing is if she can only use it on herself, maybe she wants to try to get the votes pointed at her in that situation. The final six, how crazy would that final six tribal
if all the idols
Sarah,
are still
if
in.
Sarah hadn't flipped, right? Say it's those six people, right? You've got Sarah with a vote steal, Ty with two idols, Sierra with an idol, and Troyzan with the idol. The only people who don't have anything like any moves to pull are Brad and Debbie at that point.
But also somebody has to win immunity that week too.
Oh my god.
So that's another immunity.
Let's give Brad
that's in
immunity,
play and
right?
can be passed around. You know, or if somebody who has an idol wins it, then they can pass one around.
I mean, how crazy. I mean, that might have outdone.
So that's five idols and a vote steal potentially all being played in one.
I mean, that would have outdone the great Tybal Council, right?
Like, oh jeez. It's amazing that hasn't caught on.
No, it is amazing. All right. So back at camp, So there's a moment back at camp here where this sealed the deal for Sarah winning the season for me. And it's a moment where, you know, Ceri is back and people are getting emotional. And Sarah is like, you know, I'm not upset about losing because of what happened with you. That's amazing. You did great. Blah, blah, blah. Right. Mm-hmm. I'm sure everyone said that to her. Right. I mean, they show Ty saying it to her, but we've come to expect that kind of thing from Ty.
Mm-hmm.
Sarah getting to be the one who says that, it's just like so many times they've taken a moment to show us Sarah being a good person and getting her perspective on things, and it's like, oh God, she definitely wins. I don't see any way around it. And it pisses me off for many reasons.
See any way around it.
Not the least of which at this point is that I think she made a mistake tonight on Wednesday.
It's a double mistake too, because Debbie was the wrong person to vote out. Can we circle back to this?
Yeah.
Because we haven't really explored this, but Debbie has no chance of winning in the final tribal council. And I'm sure she's more liked than we're led to believe, but I don't believe she's liked enough or respected enough to win unless she's up against two people who just have betrayed everybody.
Yeah.
And not only that, Debbie is not as strong of a threat to win immunities. She's not terrible. She could win an immunity, but she's not the strongest threat to win immunities.
Yeah.
And not only that, she's also, and I think I credit Rob again for this, that she's like the most unstable element of that alliance of six or of five. Whereas those others are much more solid and they're loyal and they're more reasonable and logical and less likely to fly off the handle. Now those people have a chance to kind of regroup and figure things out. They could have lost one of their leaders.
Yeah.
So the whole thing is like, if you're gonna, her turn also was based, it seemed like, on emotion and like on Debbie not talking to her, like making the decisions, and you know, that when she walked up and Debbie said, "This is how it's going to be."
Yeah,
but it's more about that than the long view of the game. And if I'm going to get to the end, would I rather sit next to Debbie or would I rather sit next to Sierra and Brad?
Yep. I actually think, you know, Aubrey poisoning the well with Sarah on Debbie is great play by Aubrey. You know, it's not necessarily Sarah's smartest move, but if Sarah's like, well, you know, Sierra likes Debbie and she likes me, but Debbie doesn't like me, Debbie likes Aubrey, then in that sense, maybe it's a decent idea for Sarah to get rid of Debbie. But I don't know, man. I one reason I think you're leaving out for why Debbie is a good choice or a bad choice is because
I am a huge fan of airplanes.
That's true too. It's old hat to her being in an airplane.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, after when you're flying back after the show, I'm gonna try to make my stupid non sequitur make sense. if you're in the final three with Debbie and she gets eviscerated at final tribal, like you're gonna assume, and you got to get on that airplane with next to her, at least you know she's gonna be happy because she's on an airplane, right? All right. That was my effort at.
But I'm sure there are other reasons. Like, she probably won't present a good case in final tribal.
No, she's gonna. Yeah, I can't imagine Debbie.
I mean, there's like so many reasons to want to keep her in the game at this point.
Yeah. No, it's the same.
Or
reason,
at least if you've, go ahead.
It's the same thing. Like, I don't understand why Aubrey wants to get rid of Debbie. Like.
Well, I think they had to turn somebody.
Yeah.
I don't think she wants to get rid of Debbie
in particular. Sure.
Yeah. They had, I mean, that five were five. They needed a six.
Good point.
It's just like the week that Sarah got voted out her first time was because the other side said to Cass, who do you want? Well, they needed Cass, whoever this crazy person wanted to vote out. And it was Sarah. And it was the same thing.
It's amazing to me how people, you know, 34 seasons in, there's still so many people who just don't even get that, right? That idea of like, well, that's how you win someone over is by asking them who they want, you know?
Right.
And then when they say it, you got to do it.
The best time is right now. Go.
Well, as Steven has pointed out, as well as Debbie has pointed out, you know, Aubrey said to Sarah, you know, the right things, according to Fishback, were, we will, you know, that Sarah said, I hate liars. And Aubrey said, well, Debbie is a liar. And here is what she said.
Yeah.
And then number two, she said, whatever you want. She said, we have your back. We support you.
Right. Aubrey.
And
man.
What he said was that those are the, and I remember her saying similar things in Ko Rong.
To Ty in particular.
She's just, to Ty, yeah, just very clearly like, look, we got your back. You are safe with us. You know, it's a thing. Your allies don't respect you. They're out to get you.
Aubrey,
but we support you instead of we need you to support us.
Yeah.
It's we're going to support you in your decision. You go, girl. That's why I think the whole thing is Aubrey and Ceri, not Sarah.
Yeah, no, I give all the credit. I don't give any credit to Sarah, to be honest. I mean, she's the one.
I give her credit for
trigger.
Finding the advantage.
That's another reason why she probably wins, is because the show was giving her so much credit for this when she doesn't deserve it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's keep moving on.
But it could be a Kelly Wentworth edit.
Let's hope so. All right.
Was Kelly Wentworth given a lot of her perspective on things?
She kind of disappeared, though. A little bit.
So did Sarah at times.
Yeah, no, definitely. I'm just saying Kelly disappeared right around now, though.
Hmm.
I think. I don't remember. Someone's going to tweet at me that I'm wrong, I'm sure. All right.
I'll do it.
So let's talk about Brad's choice of making sure two people not in his alliance were on the other team so they could keep tabs. You like that? I mean, I kind of like that. It seems smart to me.
I kind of like that. Well, I mean, it seems smart more so to not tip that this is my alliance and we're all going.
Yeah, but
to,
everyone knew.
You know,
come on, everyone knew.
Everyone knows, I guess, in this case.
I mean, when they got to Tribal, Zeke just straight up said, like, these six people are working together. And then Debbie was like, yep, that's it. Like even season one, they knew not to tell everyone they were working together, you know?
Right. Yeah. Especially season one. Yeah. Well, I don't know, because, you know, Brad, you got to help me with the math because you're better with the numbers, but what could they do? Let's say that the entire Minority Alliance was left on the beach. What is there to keep tabs on?
Yeah. Good point.
Okay, boss, I can see there's still a Minority Alliance against you.
Right. And it's also like if Ceri just picks one person from the six for her team, then Brad has to pick people. You know what I mean? Like it wasn't his choice then.
That's true. If Ceri was just picking based on who do I think can win this challenge.
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah, I don't. Brad might have just been taking credit for that.
I think he totally was.
You might not have even done any of the.
It's totally like. Retconning the situation, right? Like I like the idea of it, and it's great to like make Brad look smart. Maybe Brad wins. No.
I used to think Brad was gonna win, but I stopped thinking about
to me right now, like I see Sarah as like far and away the most obvious, and then Ceri is in the discussion, Aubrey's in the discussion, and Brad is still in the discussion, but I don't think Sierra is in the discussion anymore.
Yeah, I don't know. I think you're right. I actually think Ty could have a much better chance this year. He probably can't articulate as well.
Yeah,
Final Tribal, but I think Ty is beloved this season. I don't think he's last time he was hated by the end, but I don't think he's hated by anybody.
I don't think the jury is going to have so many bitter people who are bitter at Ty at the end.
They might not give him credit strategically.
Right. So that brings me up to a question. During the immunity challenge, when they had to spell out the word immunity, Ty's like struggling at the beginning, mm-hmm. stacking his blocks or whatever. So do you think he had a strategy of stacking them first and he just like has had a brain fart on the spelling? Or do you think he was like literally just trying to remember how to spell immunity before he got started? Because
I don't know. It could be some combination of both.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that he probably, if you put a pen and paper in front of him right now, he could probably spell immunity quite easily.
Yeah.
But given the hunger and fatigue factor and that it's not his native language, I could see breaking, you know, just completely just mentally like freezing and not, it's not your first language and you haven't eaten much in days. You haven't slept much. It's high pressure situation. So I could see not being able to spell.
I agree. At first I thought he was doing what I would do, which is spell the word backwards in a stack so that when you go to grab it, you don't have to look
right
at what you're grabbing.
That's what I would have done.
Yeah, I think
I was thinking the same thing.
And I think actually I noticed then someone took, I don't remember who, maybe Aubrey or maybe Andrea, took it to the next level and had it actually in two stacks so that it wouldn't fall over.
Uh-huh.
Which was...
I would be worried about that. Then I have to remember which stack is which.
Yeah, I mean, you don't even need to stack
them. May as well not stack them at that point.
Yeah, just put them in a row, right? Like.
Yeah, a row would be good.
But just so that you need them close, though, so you don't have to reach too far. In any case, it's all, honestly, it's all about like how fast you can. In this time, in the past when they've done this, it's been more about balancing them. But clearly this time it was like, you know, how fast can you get down there, right? Although
I guess so.
Andrea did bail out because she lost it. I think she had it. She was in the lead, and then she...
Yeah. Well, and then it was like somebody was going to win at that point. Who won? Troy?
Troy won, yeah. And man, he got...
Talk about people who've disappeared.
I know. He got one tiny, short confessional about it. The guy has not had a confessional in three episodes. The three episodes before this, he did not have a confessional.
Wow.
He had one today, and it was like how great it felt to win the challenge. He gets idled out, right? The guy gets idled out for sure, right? Like,
I guess he must. I don't know. The first like few episodes of the season, like, he had a much bigger role than I was expecting him to have. So I don't know what happened there.
Yeah.
And you know who we haven't spoken about much at all tonight, too, is Zeke.
Yeah. I mean, Zeke was barely in this episode. He did have two confessionals, though, mostly about working with Andrea again and how he would have to for this vote, which I think is setting up next week. To me, next week feels like it's Zeke v. Andrea. And Zeke is like rallying the dudes, and Andrea's
why is
the ladies.
Like it's the dumbest war.
I know. So
why is he so against Andrea?
I don't understand it. I don't.
It doesn't make any sense. Like, how does he win by removing Andrea from the game? What?
I understand why Andrea is upset with him, but
yes.
So
sure.
But still, she should like be able to bury the hatchet and try to move on. Like, you can't be upset at someone for that long unless it's part of your strategy to show everyone that all you have on your mind is one person, which works better in Big Brother.
It's an interesting strategy.
It works.
I don't
works
think
really
that's
well
strategy.
In Big Brother. I want this person's blood on these hands. Right. That's like a
right.
A popular strategy in Big Brother, because then people think you're not a threat to them. The majority of the house now thinks you're not a threat to them. So they actually keep you both around because they know where your votes are going. Right. It works on Big Brother. I don't think it probably works on Survivor because.
Well, I don't think that's what she's trying to do either.
Right. I don't think so either.
I think she's just completely obsessed with her anger at Zeke.
Yeah. How funny, man.
She must feel so betrayed.
Yeah, I mean, well, they knew each other.
Yeah. Like, yeah, and you see how Lex felt when Boston Rob betrayed him. Yeah. And, you know, that happens. I get it. But, like, it's also her third time playing, and I thought she was pretty seasoned. And granted, we're only seeing a small portion of what goes on, so we may have seen the only 3 minutes that she talked about Zeke and with other people. And... you know, 3 minutes is a lot of time on an episode of Survivor, but not a lot over the course of 3 days. So we don't know, but from what we're being shown, she's allowing herself to get distracted from the game.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, again, with Andrea, just to like tie in one more thing from this immunity challenge, Debbie is heard, you know, audibly cheering on Troyzan, right? When it's like kind of down to Andrea and Troyzan, Jeff is like, it's between Andrea and Troyzan. And then Debbie's like, come on, Troyzan, you got this. It's like, you can't be so obvious, right?
Debbie is so obvious with her. Yeah.
But then
she just thought that she, as far as she knew, it was.
Yeah.
Well, Brad, what
do you think? So Andrea was already out of it when Brad goes, Troy, you got this. So maybe Brad was just like, this just is like, let's get this over with, you know?
I think it was them saying there's a member of our alliance who is close to winning. So let's put our eggs in that basket.
Yeah.
So I didn't think that was so crazy because it's clearly the line had been drawn in concrete very openly. but I don't know. They're all nuts. I can't remember how we ended up on this. Oh, Andrea.
Yeah, that's all right.
I just don't see how it benefits Zeke to get Andrea out. And I don't see how it benefits Andrea to get Zeke out, other than the argument of, I know they're coming after me, so I got to go after them.
Yeah, how about when Sierra's like, I'm on top of the world. It's
super tight.
You know, like, because there's this minority alliance and they're fighting amongst themselves, which is like, so true. Like, if I were in her position, I would have felt really pretty good too, you know? Like, I don't really blame Sierra for having cocky confessionals in that moment, you know? And if it had worked out, we never would have seen them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I guarantee you they've got cocky confessionals from everyone except for Ty.
I'm sure they've got every kind of confessional. Yeah. They could make any one of those people into a hero or villain if they wanted to.
Pretty much.
And some of them might be harder to make it happen, but you can make it happen through editing. I mean,
Brad is a good example, right? Like, the guy was a total villain, and now he's basically a hero.
Right.
Yeah. All right.
Well,
yeah.
So, but at this point, they seem to be, it still seems like chaos to me.
Yeah, well, I think it's going
to be. And I'm glad because I did not want to see the pagonging happen, especially.
And I think
a bunch of dummies pagonging a bunch of great players.
I know. And I will say this, like, one of the things that I think the reason people are so excited to give Sarah a lot of credit for this episode is because first of all, the show showed her as being in charge of this. But second of all, they're just really happy with the outcome, which I am also happy. You know, I don't want to see Debbie go because Debbie is amazing for our podcast.
Right.
But, you know, I don't know how I'm going to pull clips now. Debbie's the only one giving me good ones over the last 4 weeks, but you know, it is better for the season as a whole, like being entertaining going forward. Hopefully, you know, a pagonging where
it's better that they struck, but they should have struck at Sierra or Brad.
Yeah.
And that would have helped the show also, because Sierra's a far less interesting character.
Yeah. And the thing is, like, at this point, they know, like, this is a total voting block, right? These six people that voted together. This kind of branches well into some listener emails we got, if we want to move on to that.
Sure. You mean the six people who voted out Debbie?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know that it's a solid voting block, but it's a voting block.
Yeah, so let's talk about this, because Guillaume Bergeron writes again. Thanks, Guillaume, by the way. Awesome
Thank
listener
you.
Emails.
Yeah. Yes.
He writes, do you think the sucks who voted off Debbie, and I believe he means six, but he wrote sucks.
Sure.
With an X. Do you think the sucks who voted off Debbie will stick together for the next vote? I think the four left from Brad Sierra's side are tighter and are more likely to survive through the next episode. Three idols are not.
I think there's something to that. I mean, those four are very tight. I don't think they're ever tight with Sarah. They took her for granted.
Yeah.
The same as people said that the other side took Zeke for granted. But I mean, Debbie in her exit interviews says we don't know if she was really in the know, but from her point of view, her top allies were Brad and Sierra, and then Ty and Troyzan had sort of become just as close.
Right.
And she thought that they were this unbreakable bond. Yeah. Now, the other side, I don't know. who stays with who. I mean, yeah. Maybe Aubrey stays with Ciri because she likes Ciri.
I think Aubrey's going to go wherever she needs to go, right?
Well, the good thing is that Ciri has Michaela.
Yep.
So that's a two right there. Mm-hmm. So if she can keep Andrea and Aubrey with her,
I think she's got.
They could be a solid four.
Yeah, and so then who's our swingers?
Then Zeke and Sarah are just swinging wildly and causing chaos.
Yeah, I agree, and I think Zeke and Sarah may actually pull off the strategy that Will from last season tried to articulate, the pendulum strategy.
Right.
Zeke and Sarah, well, in particular Sarah, I think may actually succeed at pulling that off this season. It almost never works. Like, even Rob Cesternino, who basically invented it, didn't have it work for him.
Right.
But maybe it works this season. I mean, Sarah has put herself in a position to be able to do that, right?
How long can you do it, though, and retain people's trust?
And why do you want to start it at Final 11?
Yeah, I don't know that you can. I don't think you can swing back and forth every week. No. I think she could swing back to them. Potentially.
Yeah.
But I don't think she could, if she swings away again,
the problem is you have to trust her to come back. You have to do it every week. Otherwise your vote doesn't have the power that it needs to. Right. So if Sarah stays with those six and they vote out one of the four, say Sierra or whatever, now Sarah can't swing back because she still won't have the numbers. So if you start doing it, you have to keep doing it.
Right.
If you know what I mean?
I do know what you mean. I mean, you don't have to, but if you keep doing it, then you'd have quite a story to tell the final tribal, and you'd be able to say that you were the ultimate game changer.
Yeah, but you have so many.
Because you changed the game every week.
You have so many people pissed at you, though. Like, you promised me you were voting with me. Literally everyone on the jury is going to be like, you promised me you were voting with me, and then you didn't.
I'm holding out hope that she's the Wentworth, that she's the one who maybe some people feel should have won, but doesn't make it to the final tribal.
Yeah.
I don't think you can keep swinging back and forth and not have, and keep their trust. I think you could do it once, you know, but if you do it a second time, then I don't think they're going to let you do it a third time. So you could do it twice, actually.
Yeah,
you know, so you got to make sure that second one counts, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so you and I have discussed that maybe Debbie wasn't the right choice, right? But we got a listener email from Ivan, and I apologize, Ivan, I'm not going to attempt your last name. I did try to look it up, how to pronounce it, and I couldn't get the hang of it. I'm sorry, Ivan. In any case, so
I'm
Ivan,
sorry, Ivan.
Ivan wants.
I'm sorry, Ivan, because I would have been able to do it. Yeah, go ahead.
So Ivan makes the case, and I think it's compelling, actually. He says, do you guys actually think there's some actual merit in going after Debbie this time? It's an easy vote to rally around, considering how much she's rubbing everyone the wrong way. And this way, Sarah can actually go back to that side after Tribal and try to rationalize her decision to keep the group by sharing the things Debbie said to Aubrey in an attempt to smooth things over and still keep her options open. By eliminating Sierra or Brad, a line would have been drawn. None of this would be possible. She probably wouldn't be able to work with that side again, effectively jumping ship for good. So this is a great question, because if Sarah is going to do the pendulum strategy, Debbie is really her best choice.
Well, yeah, I think Ivan's right. I mean, we discussed that earlier, is that she could still go back to them. And it's not as going to be as bad as if she had voted out Sierra or Brad.
Yeah. I mean, can she go back and pull a Natalie Anderson and go, I thought we were voting for, I voted for the wrong person.
No, I don't think you can do that, because that was within her own alliance. They were doing a vote split.
Yeah.
With Natalie, more plausibly.
Yeah, that wasn't a real question.
So I think Ivan's right. From Sarah's perspective, it's the right choice, because she's a member of that alliance that nobody's probably going to get too pissed off about losing.
Right.
And yeah, he adds the extra that I hadn't thought of. that she can also go back and say, well, she was saying all this stuff.
Yeah.
To Aubrey.
Totally. Totally.
I just had to join them at the last minute. So
the best part about that is that it's true, right? Like, she was saying those things to Aubrey, and Aubrey may or may not back up Michaela, but at least, like, you know, she probably isn't going to say, no, Debbie didn't say that stuff to me. Sarah, back up Sarah, back not up Michaela.
Okay.
Yeah. Apologies. All right. We have one more listener email from Nina Stoddard. Awesome friend of the show. And she always tweets at us. She's great.
Yeah.
She says,
love Nina Stoddard.
This is the second time that Michaela has been so sure that the vote was going her way that she broke out props. What portion of this is arrogance versus confidence? First time feels to me like confidence, since Varner was not flipping on Sandra. But I'm not sure about this one. Did Sarah assure her before tribal?
Hmm. Well, she might have been assured, but she could have been ended up being wrong.
I wonder if, yeah, I mean, it fits so well with this bit earlier where people are like saying, oh, Michaela eats so much food, right? And then she's eating food at, like, Debbie is pissed at Michaela for eating food, and then Michaela eats food in Debbie's face when she's being voted out. Like, that's like really awesome and entertaining. In this case, I think, like, it's probably confidence. I'm hesitant to say that it's arrogance, right? Because there were a lot of arrogant people in this episode, or at least that came off arrogant. But
yeah.
I don't know. Like, I think Debbie has a good point. Like, I listened to her exit interview, and she said, would people be calling Michaela arrogant if she was a man doing this? And
yeah, she's right.
I think I would be calling a man arrogant that did that if they had shown to be arrogant already. Like if Andrew Savage started breaking out food and eating it at tribal like that, I would be like, wow, that is arrogant, you know? But would generally people be upset? They probably would think it was cool, you know? Depends on the person.
It's sort of become like her bit.
Yeah.
To me, it's like as soon as she breaks out that food, if I'm not in her alliance, I'm sweating.
Yeah, right?
Because it just means that, she knows something. She knows something.
Yeah.
You check her bag. This isn't going to go well for us.
Yeah. Check her bag for food and or tea. And if you see it, then you know, oh, I better play my idol this week. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if she was. I think that. Probably so. I don't buy that Sarah was going to decide at tribal.
I mean,
maybe Sarah told herself that, but she probably did assure both sides that she would vote with them.
I mean, what was interesting was that everything that we saw that Sarah was saying at tribal was she's with the six, right? Like, of course, because they're trying to mislead us, but also she probably was like, I don't want Debbie to catch on, you know, because rightfully so. Troyzan or Ty could have just like whipped out their idol and played it on Debbie, you know?
Absolutely.
So
it
smart,
had to be a total inside.
It was smart on Sarah's part to keep it.
Well, but there's also in these exit interviews, both Sarah and both Debbie and Ozzy have complained about Sarah swearing on her son's life to them that she'd be loyal. So it does make me wonder if there will, you know, they're going to be people mad at her at the end.
That's a good question. I mean, Debbie did seem mad at Sarah in her exit interview, didn't she?
Yeah.
We'll see, I guess. I'm still like, you know, this season, obviously a lot of the great people we're excited about are gone, but this remaining last 10 is going to be crazy, right? Like so many idols and advantages. It's going to be insane.
Yeah, it'll be insane, but I honestly am not as enthusiastic about a game dictated by idols as I am a game dictated by actual strategy.
Sure. You know,
if everybody knew who all had idols and they had to strategize based around total knowledge of the idols and advantages, that might be more interesting.
So you're saying
me.
You'd rather it be chess than poker, right? You'd rather everyone have perfect information and then outwit each other that way? I mean, I prefer.
I don't need everybody to have perfect information. I just feel like every idol you add in and adds an element of randomness and arbitrariness. I guess those are basically the same thing.
Yeah.
So having one is kind of fun, and having two gets kind of crazy. When we're talking about five, it's like, yeah, that might be fun to watch as a novelty, but I don't know. I feel like I want to see a game where the winner won because of their strategy, not because of some crazy mixed up wacky idol luck.
And so far, who's playing in a way where they deserve to win based on their strategy?
Let's see.
Suri.
I mean, there's nobody. I don't necessarily know that there are that many people playing terribly. Even Sierra has been playing correctly for the position she's been in.
I agree. I think Zeke has played terribly.
Really surprisingly badly. And
he did the same thing his first season, though. I mean, Zeke is a loose cannon. He wants to play very hard, which is fine if you want to come back and play again, which, you know, you can always argue for that. But
I think, I mean, from that perspective, but even last season, like his, I just feel like this season is even crazier.
Yeah.
Like he's sort of screwed his own position here a couple times.
I agree. And, you know, to be fair, he did come back to the States for like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And jump out again. I'll give him, you know, I'll give him a little bit of a pass.
Had this whole outing, which adds a total mental emotional element that he didn't want to deal with, I'm sure. But he has nonetheless been playing not great from what we can see. Michaela seems to be playing a poor social game.
Totally.
So those two probably are the least, you know, likely to win from that perspective. But everybody else, I don't see anybody playing terribly among the other people left. I don't know that we've seen anything incredible. Brad has shown some interesting finesse.
Ty
has played better than he did last time.
You know, I think these idols are going to give us our strategic moments. You know,
I hope so.
It's hard to play strategically instead of just socially when there are no idols, right? Like idols open up options.
Plenty of strategy before idols came into the game.
And a lot of it is just social strategy, right? Convincing people to vote the way you need them to.
Yeah.
Which is still strategy. Don't get me wrong. That's really, really important. I mean, like one of my big things is that I don't think that you should ever look for idols. I don't think they're worth having. You know, I don't think the risk you take to try to find them is worth having them. But and I also think you shouldn't ever win any challenges in the individual portion. But, you know, that's just unless you have to, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have to, you're probably playing poorly.
I agree that if you have to, you're probably playing poorly. But I think there might be.
Well, okay. So
some value in winning one, adding that to your resume.
And, you know, to keep it, people do value them. Unfortunately, the jury overvalues challenge wins, I think.
Right. Well, I agree. But I'm the guy who spaces out during challenges.
Yeah. People trying, if you need to keep it out of the hands of someone else, I guess then it's worth winning as well.
Well, yeah, I think if Tyson or Rob has said, Boston Rob, I mean, it might even be Tyson I'm thinking of, or maybe both, that the one of the greatest values in having the idol is knowing where it is.
Right. No, that you're talking about.
Of course, that was back when there was only one idol.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, now you don't know. You don't even know that. You don't know that there might be three more floating around.
I love that, you know, the edit, since idols have not been important the last four episodes, we haven't heard anything about them. As soon as someone, as soon as on the previous Leon, we see Ty finding his idol, we're going to know something's going to happen with that idol this episode.
I know. I almost should not watch previous Leons for that reason.
I know. The previous Leon is so telling.
It's so telling. And you're right. Like, there's no reason. And that's why we haven't heard from Troyzan.
Yeah. Like, I wonder if Troyzan leaves with the idol in his pocket. You know what I mean?
He's apparently also got a fake idol in his pocket.
Oh, how do you know Sam that? Made. Oh.
Well, I don't believe it's going to enter the game at all. So that's why we've never seen it. Sandra told a story that she made what she believed to be the perfect fake idol that is beautiful and that it looked real. And I don't remember the story of how she made it, but that she made it. Her story is that she, and this must be very early because the story involves Caleb, mm-hmm. that she went out into the jungle and made this thing and hid it in her bra and then went searching for the real idol and didn't find it, but had spent so much time searching for the idol that she forgot she had the fake one in her bra. Then she walked out of the jungle and her bra was like bulging, and Caleb was like, wow. What's that? and her response was to laugh and say something like, oh, Caleb, you caught me. I was making a fake idol. Or Troy might have been with. Somehow in this whole situation, she ended up giving it to Troy.
I can't believe she said that.
She was just like, cop to it as soon as it was pointed out. She figured the jig was up and she laughed in her disarming way. It was like, okay, you got me. I made a fake idol.
Yeah, I mean, it's awesome. Sandra is awesome. But I can't believe that she said that in an exit interview. Because she doesn't know if that idol has an effect on the game. She wasn't around.
That's
for
true.
It.
You're right. It may. So
it could
well, but
totally
the reason I think that she should feel. Yeah, but.
No, they would show it.
Don't
us.
You think would, we would have seen her?
Yeah, that's
we
a
would
good
have
point.
Seen everything.
She probably assumed. If
Troy ever ends up playing that fake idol, it's not going to come from nowhere.
Yeah.
We're going to have seen
good
her
point.
Give it to
good
him.
Good point. Yeah. Although
so
this would be the first time.
I
mean, look, there's a first time for everything. I could see Troy playing a fake idol and Jeff going, this is not a real idol. And the audience is like, what?
Oh, if that happens, I'm sorry, because I just spoiled what could be one of the greatest surprises in Survivor history. That would be awesome because we know he has a real one. And if we didn't know he had a fake one, he decided to play that one. But he knows it's fake. No, that's
so
part
stupid.
Of the story.
It's so stupid. He knows it's
he
fake.
He knows it's fake.
No, I know. I'm just saying, like, it'd be stupid of him to play a fake one and not a real one. Like, what's the point, you know?
Yeah, no. Perhaps finding the real one, like, put an end to that story.
Oh, you know what would be sweet if he, like, goes to play the fake one? He plays the fake one, and everyone's like, oh, shit. And Jeff is like, I'm sorry, this is not a real idol, throws it in the fire. And Troy Zen goes, oh, hold on, let me get the other one then. And then he plays his real one.
That would be a cool move, yeah. That would be a good move.
If I ever get the opportunity to find a real hidden immunity idol, I'm going to make a fake one just so I could do the fake one first and then the real one.
That would be funny.
Oh, sorry. I grabbed the wrong one in my Rolodex of idols here. Hold on. Let me flip to the page with the real one here.
I don't know why she gave it to him. Maybe they were close. But he knew it was fake.
Yeah, that is weird that she gave it to him. Very weird. Maybe they weren't close enough. They were close enough. Well, he knew it was fake, so it doesn't matter. All right, Scott.
I don't think she gave it to him right at that moment. She thought she was leaving, or maybe when they swapped. Because they got swapped onto different tribes, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know what happened.
Oh, you know what? Yes.
Sandra says a lot of things.
I bet she did give it to him when he got swapped onto the tribe all by himself.
But on the other hand, when did she have enough time to do that?
Who knows? You know?
Yeah.
All sorts of... She could have been like, well, if he knew already that it was fake. Yeah, how could she give it to him and say this is fake? In that moment.
He might have already known.
Exactly. He would have had to have already known. Yeah. Interesting.
I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah. And
Sandra says a lot of things.
Yeah. Well, Scott, it feels like
we've said it all.
I think we've said it all, Scott. And, we'll try to be back next week with a guest. I know we were kind of like on fire this season with guests, but
fire had to burn out at some point.
Hopefully,
and
we'll
this was that point.
Someone. We'll try to find someone. Maybe we'll bring someone back.
So you think I'm not just looking through this season through rose-colored glasses, say, that there is a chance Suri could make it.
I think it's a small chance, but yes, small I think based chance. On her current edit now, she has a chance. She still has.
Let me
the
ask you this: if it's not Sarah, well, often the winner doesn't always have the most confessional. Sometimes they do. If they're like a Tony,
yeah,
or a Boston Rob, right. But if it's not Sarah, and it's not Suri.
It's got to be Brad or Aubrey then.
Aubrey?
Most likely
Brad. You
really
Brad. Think Aubrey has a chance to win?
She's been at least... She's had only one episode with no confessionals, and that was episode 3. She's had at least
it's
one
weird,
confessional.
I feel like she was barely involved until recently.
She's had a lot of little moments, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of knowing moments, a lot of moments where she was around... But yeah,
so you
I agree.
Don't give Sierra any chance?
Not anymore. Not after that confessional where she's like, you know, this Alliance of Six is
super tight.
Like it was just too cocky, right? Like, don't show us that. If Sierra wins, they don't show us that, right? Because it makes her look bad.
Yeah. Well,
She fell off of my list. I know she could win, but I honestly, it's like Sarah is like. For me, it's like Sarah way, way, way above everyone else.
Meanwhile, they're filming season 35 right now.
Oh, I know. It's so exciting. So exciting.
All right. We've said it all.
Yep.
Please visit us on and give us lavish us with praise and stars on iTunes.
Yes.
or go on Twitter at Ryan Elder Music.
At Scott Chernoff. Right. Email us with questions about the episode, snakesratsandgoats@gmail.com. Sorry, yeah. snakesratsgoats@gmail.com.
Snakerat@gmail.com.
Perfect. So no and in there.
Nope, no and.
But we do have the .com. We got that.
We did. We got the @gmail.com. Okay. Yeah, it's not @gmail.net.
I like gmail.biz. That's my favorite.
Hey, if I could just do one quick hold up bro moment, just for old time's sake.
Sure.
If you go back and watch the immunity challenge where they're doing the ropes, the sound designer went absolutely bananas. Every piece of wood and rope is just creaking and cracking. It's like so loud. I was like, I didn't notice it the first time I watched, but the second time I was like, oh my God, those ropes
well,
are like
got
the creakiest old ropes.
You've got an ear for the sound.
It sounded like
occurred to me that they were enhancing the sound effects. And of course they are.
Of course they are. Well,
of course they are. But it never occurred to me that they're adding creaks in post.
Hold up.
Yeah. All right. Scott, now we truly have said it all.
We've said it all. All has been said.
Yep.
And we shall return next week.
Yep.
Long live the queen.
Long live the queen.
Tribe has spoken. Now I'm going to put out your little lamp with my lamp stopper.